Cheryl Fritz is now live in Lansing on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Welcome to Fritz and Friends.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Kyle Malin, who is editor of the MERS newsletter. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing awfully well. I know you went for a morning run. I know you got pumped up on Tony Conley's show this morning. I wanted to give you time for kind of a woosah moment to calm perhaps this afternoon after we talked about, I'm not sure this conversation will calm you, though, but you will be filled with a lot of information that you will give us. This morning when you talked with Tony, and I read the article that you wrote in the City Pulse newspaper on the millage vote, the ballot proposal that went down in the city of Lansing. And the title of that article was Take the Millage Vote Out on the Council. Was that an appropriate headline?
Well, I think so. I mean, because the point of the column was to say that if we would have had a united Lansing City Council working together, working in unison, everybody working in the same direction with the same talking points, with the same message, I think that this ballot proposal would have passed. It was absolutely winnable. If you look at millage proposals across state on Tuesday, by and large, they passed. And I'm not just talking about renewals and that type of thing, but I'm talking about real millages that were designed to try and increase funding for, in Grand Rapids, it was a transit system. In Muskegon, I believe it was a library. And somewhere else, it was a museum. I mean, there were millage proposals all over the place, and the two biggest losses in the state were Lansing and Garden City. And so my point in that column was to say, first of all, shame on the city council for punting and putting it to the electorate to begin with. But if you're going to do that and you actually want the electorate to pass it, then you have to educate them and tell them why they should pass it. Now, the big selling point, I think, for me, is the fact that while you are raising the millage rate, you are not actually increasing property taxes for a vast number of residents. For myself, speaking for myself, and I go into this in the column, because my property values have shrank so much because of the poor economy and the cruddy housing market, I'm going to be paying $200 and some less next year on my property taxes than I do this year. Now, if this millage had passed, I'd still be paying less than I do right now. It'd just be, you know, $38 instead of $200 or whatever, you know, it's going to end up being. I think that the citizens, had they been armed with the proper information, I think if the city council had gone out there and actually done a lot of work, not run counter messages, there was some messaging out there that Mayor Bonero was going to have, you know, complete control of this money, like he was going to spend this money on fish tanks and pencils or something. You know, that doesn't work. I mean, do you want this thing to pass or do you want to sabotage the mayor? I think you've got to make up your mind which way you want to go on this. And I think it just doomed the ballot proposal. It's a shame.
So some of the infighting or perhaps, in my word, petty differences among the council, between the council and the mayor, led to its demise. I mean, Kathy Dunbar was on this show a few times talking about the fact that, yes, it's a tax increase, but you'll actually pay less this next year than you did this year, as you just illustrated. And that message was just outshouted, perhaps.
Well, you know, and I understand where Bonero's coming from, because he's talking about how obviously people are upset about the economy and $4 gas, and their neighbor is, you know, is moving out because his home just got foreclosed on. He can't find a job. And I understand that, but you don't improve the economy of a local community by getting rid of police service. You don't see Saginaw and Flint striving right now. You don't see Highland Park and Hamtramck striving, even though they've lost a lot of their automobile economy as well. They're out on the manufacturing end as well, just as we are. But we have been able to keep our police force intact in the city despite all the cuts to state revenue sharing. And that is huge. That is a great selling point for businesses wanting to come in to know that if they pick up the phone, they're actually going to get a police officer to their door if they have a serious issue in a timely manner. I mean, if you've got to wait for a police officer for 15, 20 minutes for something serious, I mean, that's just inviting crime. That's inviting lower property values. I mean, you think you're paying less now, just wait until your property values continue to shrink, because we can't turn this city around because people are scared to live here or they're scared to invest here. That's ridiculous.
And the mayor was routine in his message in saying, if I have to cut, this is where the cuts will come. They will come from police and fire.
Well, that's what makes this counter argument so ridiculous, that we're giving the mayor the power to do whatever he wants with this extra millage money. If that's true, and I'm not so sure that it is because I haven't double-checked all the info on this, but let's just assume that that is true, that we're giving Virgin Arrow this extra $4 million that we would be paying. So what? I mean, what do you think he's going to do with that, Cheryl? Do you think he's just going to flush it down the toilet? You think he's just going to hold a big party for his friends? I mean, what do you think he's going to do with this money? He's been very clear right from the get-go that it's going into police and it's going to fire. And I know that the city council did kind of a, an assurance on Monday and said, okay, well, it's got to go to this and that. But of course it was going to go to, this was going to go to police and this was going to go to fire and this is going to roads. I mean, if he hadn't, I mean, it'd be a scandal. And you know, he's not going to do that. Give me a break. I mean, there's safeguards and oversight. I mean, we would have called him out. The media would have called him out. The people would have called him out. That is ridiculous to think that he's going to do anything but spend that money on police and fire. And it's silly that anyone's bringing up that argument. It's just a ridiculous, ridiculous argument.
Well, and he was very clear. You know, he gave his word on my show as in other shows and in the other media as well that that's exactly what he was going to do with it. We're not calming you down, Kyle.
Well, no, yeah, I know. Thanks for getting me riled up, Cheryl. I thought I'd calm myself down since then, but now you've got me all stirred up again.
Well, I'm going home for a bike ride after the show. You may need one more run.
No, it's softball tonight.
Oh, there, same idea. Tonight. You'll get to hit hard objects or soft objects with a hard bat.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was getting to fall asleep over here because we're waiting for the state house to move a education budget, and they've taken all afternoon to try and get the votes for it, and right now they haven't succeeded in doing it.
Well, that was my next question for you. The other thing that gets us riled up is the budget process. So that's where we are. They were working on K-12, weren't they?
Yeah, they are. The House of Representatives is basically going to be voting on a proposal very similar to what Rick Snyder proposed in his budget message, to use much of the K-12 budget surplus to fund higher education and community colleges. That right now is a very tough vote for Republicans. They're hearing from superintendents and teachers and parents in their home districts that they don't want to see the 3.8% cut to their school districts. Now, the House was able to soften that cut a little bit, $50 million less of a cut, and I think it's down to 3.3 or 3.2%. But still, they're getting a lot of blowback from the local districts, and it's making getting the 56 votes needed for passage very difficult. The Democrats are not going to give them one vote at all. It's all going to have to come from the Republican side. There's 63 of them, so, you know, do the math. 63 minus 56, you know, they can only sacrifice seven yes votes. You know, part of the problem here, too, Cheryl, is that, you know, for some of these members who don't want to take this vote, they're looking at next Monday, and I guess Monday the 16th and not the 9th, on the 16th, the state economists are going to get together and find out how much money do we really have projected for the next fiscal year. And it's expected that they're going to revise the number and that they're going to say, you know what, we're going to have $500 million more than we thought back in January, $500 million more. Now, these lawmakers want that money to go straight to schools. And if they succeed in getting that money straight to schools, they argue, why are we voting on these cuts right now when we can wait until after the revenue estimating conference, use that money for schools, and we can vote for a budget that doesn't cut schools as bad? Why are we going to take a vote right now on the 5th that we potentially don't even need to take because we're going to be funding them a little better in 10 days anyway?
Well, that sounds like it could be an argument that holds some weight.
Well, it's possible, but the Republicans have been in caucus for some time now. They were in session since noon today, Cheryl, and they've been trying to get the appropriate number of yes votes on the budget, but as you can tell,
you're still sitting there.
I got a game at 9 o'clock.
I was just gonna say what time's your game? It's 9 o'clock. Well, they need to you need to send a message in, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly. Softball over K-12 budget. Come on, guys.
Let's get this handled. Kyle, is always a pleasure to get your perspective on all issues. Take a moment to calm down, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Kyle Malin, who is editor of the MERS newsletter. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.